This is episode number 14 with Sam Udell. Welcome to the Rise Higher podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Kwong, and each week I'll bring you an inspiring guest with an empowering message to help you rise higher and live your best life. Each guest shares their time of struggle and setback and what specific mindsets, tools, practices, or habits they use to overcome so that you can apply them to your life. This show is to remind you that you're not alone and that there's always a pathway up. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm grateful to be on this journey with you. Our struggles are a call for us to rise. So here we go. Let's dive deep now so we can rise higher together. What is up, guys? Welcome to the Rise Higher podcast. Today, I have got a super special someone with me, my soul sister, Sam Udell. So Sam is an incredible entrepreneur who turned her passion for food and cooking into a profession, and she is making a lot of people happy through her whole Sam food truck and as a celebrity chef for some well-known artists and athletes, including Ludacris, 2 Chainz, and DeMarcus Cousins. Now, Sam is one to follow, and not just because of the crazy good, healthy, and delicious food that she whips up, but because of her huge heart for people and for her ability to own who she is and fully express that, and her badass attitude to go after what she wants, whether she feels ready or not. Because at just 25, with no culinary school training and only just a few years of cooking under her belt, Sam landed the gig to start cooking for Ludacris, and she launched her whole Sam food truck. I mean, Sam breaks all the rules of how to start a career. I mean, she got her first celebrity client not knowing what she was doing, and she learned how to cook by looking things up on the YouTube and the Google. I mean, it is so awesome. Her whole story of how she made this happen is so inspiring, and I really can't wait for you to hear all about it. Because, you know, starting a business and growing it is not easy. I mean, I know because I've been through my own ups and downs as I've grown mine, and I've even had moments of wanting to quit. Because, again, it is not easy. And there are some days where it really takes something to dig in deep in your soul to keep on moving. And you know, some of the many things that I absolutely love about Sam is how raw and honest she is about the challenges that she has and her incredible attitude to handle the moments of struggle and to gracefully move through it all. So in this episode, some of the things that we chat about are the first big risk that Sam took that launched her career straight to cooking for a celebrity, and how to quickly shift through challenges and to keep going when your brain tells you to stop, the importance of starting before you're ready, and how owning who you are and staying in a space of continual growth can amplify your success. And in moments of stress, how Sam brings herself back to a place of calm, and the value of sharing the behind-the-scenes struggles and setbacks. And of course, we've got a whole lot more goodness for you. Now, you're going to hear me calling Sam Sammy in this episode because that's what she went by when I first met her. And you know, that's what I still call her. But just know she now rolls with Sam. Okay, are you ready? Here we go. Sammy Udell, I love you so much. Thank you so much for being a guest on the Rise Higher podcast. You know how much I love you, girl, like so much. You're one of the most dearest people in my heart. And I'm grateful that you made space and time to be here today because you are a busy woman. But I would love to kind of just jump in and have you share a little bit about who you are and what you're passionate about because it's such an inspiration to me. I know a lot of people will get some inspiration hearing you talk about what you love.
Thank you for having me, Steph. And I'm honored to be here. And my name is Sammy, for those who know me really well, but it's also Sam ever since I started my company, which is Whole Sam, which is a food truck and a personal chef business. I am currently a personal chef for Ludacris, the rapper slash actor, DeMarcus Cousins, a very famous NBA player, and 2 Chainz, also a rapper artist. And in the current moment, I work full time for DeMarcus Cousins, and I also run the Whole Sam food truck.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
And my passion is pretty much all food, all things food and wellness and cooking.
Yeah. How did you get into, well, one, uncovering your passion for food and then kind of getting started on the path that you are on now?
Well, my passion for food came out when I was like 20 or so. A friend of mine lost a ton of weight and it inspired me. So I just wanted to learn what I was eating because he told me that he stopped eating fast food and that's how he lost all the weight. I didn't have a weight problem or anything, but I did eat a lot of pizza, ramen noodles, bacon, McDonald's. I didn't really care that much what I put in my body. So once he, it wasn't just the way he lost weight. It was also like his vibrant skin, his energy. He just looked happier. And so that's when I realized, whoa, food actually could make a huge impact on the way you look and the way you act. So I started doing a little bit of research and then I realized I really liked it and I had a knack for it because a lot of people would eat the food and say it was really good. So, and I, that was my favorite feeling, was making people happy through food because it's kind of like a talent that I didn't know how to make people happy like the way that food did. And once I realized that it works so well, I was like, I really want to get good at this. And I moved to LA on a whim, really. And
like 3-4 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
4 years ago. And I was asked my older brother if I could cater for one of his networking parties. And at the party just so happened to be Ludacris's personal assistant. And I didn't even cook. I was a vegan at the time. I'm not a vegan anymore, but at the time I didn't even know how to cook chicken or steak or anything. So everything was just looking up on YouTube or Google. I cooked for 50 people. The Wow. most people I had ever cooked for before that was like 4 or 5. And so I cooked for 50 people and it went so well. And Ludacris's personal assistant approached me and said, my homie's looking for a chef, and if you'd like to do that, I would love to connect you. And when I found out it was Ludacris, it was like my whole world stopped in that moment. I was thinking, if I could be Ludacris's personal chef, I will go to culinary school. Just tell me what I need to do, and I'll make it happen. And he just said, I'll connect you. So I met Ludacris like 3 months later, and I cooked for him. I dropped a glass bowl in his kitchen the first day. I also lit a sausage on fire because the guy at Whole Foods told me to like throw some water and oil in a pot, and I didn't know what I was doing. But he loved me and the food, so then I've been working with him ever since, like over 3 years now.
That's amazing. I have a couple things to say based off of what you shared. First of all, of course you bring joy to other people outside of your food, just who you are, Sammy. Like even if you weren't feeding me and all of our amazing friends, you are just such a light being and such an amazing soul. And then when you asked Jake to like cook, what were you thinking? Because you'd only cooked for 4 people and all of a sudden now you're like, oh, can I cater your party? Like what called to you to actually want to just ask if you could do something like that? Because I think most people would be freaked out if they didn't know, you know, or never
I
done it before.
I think ever since moving to LA, because I was really fresh to LA. Like, I think I had lived there for 3 months at this time or not long at all. And I think what I felt in LA that was what was missing in my life was so much, you know, events, but not enough connection. And at the time I was in MITT leadership program. So I was all about connection and love. And so I was thinking, okay, we're just getting catered food. We don't even know who's making it. We don't even know where it's coming from. It's cold by the time it gets there. And then it kind of just sits out. Even if the food wasn't as good, if my brother's Jake's little sister cooked it, maybe it would have more connection for people. And if they saw me in my apron and they saw like, oh, Jake's sister cooked it, maybe it would motivate them to eat it and connect over food. So that's why I asked my brother if I could cook it, because we had catered Chinese, we had catered Mexican, and every time it was like people just wanted to drink. And since I loved food so much, I really wanted people to want to eat. And so I really just wanted to try to cook for it. I knew it wasn't going to be like the best meal ever, even though it turned out to be my best meal ever since it led to my whole career. But
yeah, your food is amazing. And I'm going to probably do a bunch of different plugs. But if you're in Los Angeles, you got to go chase that Whole Sam food truck to get some of Sammy's good eats because her food is phenomenal. So something that's always fascinated me about you too, Sammy, is the fact that you were such a good chef, but you learned through the YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that. Because I think so many people think in order to do something and do it well, we've got to have the, you know, the credentials or all this training. And not saying that that's not good to have mm-hmm. too. I think it depends on what you're up to. But I love that you just kind of dove in. So what was that? Like, tell me about that.
I mean, I think I have had like a really backwards way of learning how to cook because I kind of, my career started with being Ludacris' chef. And then from there, I went to work at a restaurant. And now I'm still learning from some other great chefs. And it's been such an amazing experience to have mentors in the kitchen now that can teach me the basics, like the cutting skills and stuff that I would have learned in culinary school. But like you said, like anyone could learn any way. If people want to go to school and that's what's calling to them, they should do that. For me, going to culinary school was never an option, but learning was necessary. And I'm still learning so much in the kitchen. It's actually, sometimes it's almost embarrassing. Like I don't know what julienne is or certain cuts. I mean, I do, but I'm just trying to give an example. And what I think is like a struggle for me is like not letting that embarrass me and just saying, I'm not everything that I want to be because I'm on this journey of learning. And I think that's where people get stuck a lot is like, I'm not there, so I can't pretend I'm there. And I don't feel like I'm pretending. I am a personal chef for three giant celebrities. They watch me cook, so they know where my skill set is. And I think when I became comfortable with that and owning, this is what I'm good at, this is what I do. They want sushi one night, I can bring a sushi chef in to cook with me and then I get to learn. And that's so beautiful for me because I get to learn, I get to create experience for my client and for the sushi chef and we're all happy. And I think people are too often like comparing themselves or thinking of things in a competition or not feeling like they're ready to start what they want to start. But I think it's really important. You just start right where you're at and own who you are in the moment because I am growing and I'm not embarrassed to say that I'm growing.
Mm-hmm. I think that's key is the start part. So many people wait till it's perfect. Like I have enough credentials or I know enough information or fill in the blank, whatever they tell themselves to hold back on their dream. And you just kept, that's what I've been loving. And I shared this with you before we started rolling on this interview is you've just always dove right in. You like, you don't know, but you just jump in and go, I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's a really, really great skill that I have. And it's scary still. Even though I do it, it's still scary and I still have to learn and I still freak out. I have like panic attacks, stress, whatever. And like I found out that, say, one of my client's old chefs was from France and well-trained and owns blah, 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 six restaurants. And all of a sudden I feel incompetent because I'm not that. But then when I realize, okay, I'm not that, but what I am is I make really vibrant food because I go to the farmer's market 5 times a week. That's what I am. Or I make really good food because I'm young and I'm passionate and I do my research based on what they need. For example, my current client, DeMarcus, has a pulled Achilles. And so I'm researching what foods are going to be for his highest health to recover and get back to the NBA. Maybe not other chefs do that. So it's about playing to your strengths and not being in denial about where you're at because I still am learning, like I said.
So in those moments when you felt, I mean, I heard how you've kind of self-regulated a bit when the comparison comes up, right? Is actually stopping and knowing what your value is, your own unique expression and your gifts. When you're also feeling, say, stress or worry around work stuff, is there something else that you do to re-regulate yourself back to calm?
It's a really good question. I think, honestly, just keep going. It just always regulates me because there's been so many times on this journey I want to give up or I want to just give the truck back or I want to just tell DeMarcus I'm not coming in ever again or, you know, I don't feel good enough or happy today or things aren't going my way or with my job, it can be very high pressure because one bad meal and you feel like you're a piece of poop. Because if they don't like one meal, that's what they remember. And a lot of times people remember bad meals better than they remember really good meals. So if I have a bad dinner, now I have that weight on my shoulders until I can make breakfast the next morning and maybe even breakfast and lunch. So it's a lot of pressure. But when I keep going, that's when I keep learning. That's when I'm growing. And I know people who I knew like 3 years ago who are in the exact same position that they were 3 years ago. And I know that that's not me. And that's what's built my confidence. Because I keep going, I'm building confidence every step of the way because I keep going.
Yeah. So is it something that you tell yourself to keep going, or you just take the action? Like, again, in those moments when your brain's telling you to stop or to quit or to call DeMarcus? Yeah. call him and say, I'm not coming in. Like, how do you pump yourself up to keep going? Like,
I don't know, honestly. I think I am inherently motivated, honestly. I feel like I'm lazy a lot of the times, but I guess it's a vision. Like, my vision is bigger than what I'm afraid of, or my vision is bigger than my laziness. My vision is bigger than what's stopping me. So, I mean, even if I go home and I feel like crap and I take a nap, and I wake up and I still don't want to go. Like, something puts my feet on the ground. I don't really know what it is. It's just that I want to be something really special, and I'm not going to give up until I'm there. And other people don't really understand it. Like, I wouldn't say I've lost any friends over this, but I've definitely lost a lot of the closeness of relationships. But I feel weirdly okay with that, because this was my dream. Like, 4 years ago, my dream was to have something that was getting me out of bed. And I didn't. Like, I can't stress that enough, how much I really didn't. Like, I didn't know if I ever would want to get out of bed, because nothing really seemed like it would be more important than sleeping or than hanging out with friends. That's where I was at 4 years ago. And I mean, I guess one day that really changed my life was the day that I launched my Kickstarter campaign, because a lot of people gave me money, and it wasn't even the money. It was just like the, here's this because I believe in you. And when I saw that other people believed in me, it was like, I changed. Like, I literally changed that day. And anybody who knows me probably saw the change in me, which was like, I used to be fun and I was always a good person. I was always had a talent for cooking, but that day was, I'm not going to stop until I create something really special. And I guess that the vision is what keeps me going.
Yeah. That's so powerful that you use the vision as the catalyst and the motivation to stay the course. Because I think we can start staring at the obstacles to guide us. And usually that guidance is stop. Right? Or quit or pause. And so if you shift gears and you actually just stare at the vision instead of all the obstacles and challenges along the way, that definitely is such a support to keep people going. And I want to let everybody know the Kickstarter was for Sammy's awesome food truck.
Yes.
Do you want to share about that? Because I think it's such an inspirational story about how that all came to life and how it's still running now.
Yeah. I mean, when I started working for Ludacris, I got a job at a restaurant to learn more skills. And working in a restaurant is, you know, long hours, low pay, low appreciation, and a lot of vulgar comments. And I just didn't feel like that was really what I wanted to do. But I still love the idea of serving people food. And I was in a skybox at an NBA game, which is actually kind of ironic now that I'm cooking for an NBA player. But I was talking to one of my brother's friends, Asia, who's also my brother's fiance's business partner, and she asked me what I do. She saw that passion in me, and she felt like, you should have your own thing. And I had already had WholeSam as a company. I owned the website, but it was nothing. Like, you could have gone to that website, and it was like one recipe that I wrote like 3 years ago. It wasn't really anything. I always knew that I wanted to create something, but it was stagnant for many years. And she suggested that I create a food truck. And that night we were, I think, drinking wine, just fantasizing about a rooftop garden and all of this fancy stuff and just the most souped up food truck you could ever imagine. And when I woke up the next morning, I was like, wow, that was a really big fantasy. And I can't create that today, but I can start somewhere. So I started looking into it, like, how much money does it take? And every single day, I just started getting more and more motivated to figure out how I can start a food truck. Not to mention, there is the movie Chef, and food truck is a really common dream for people. Like, I meet so many people every day. Anybody who can even cook a little bit, they have this secret fantasy about owning a food truck, which I didn't even have before that night. But I think what's really attractive about the food truck industry is it is relatively low cost to enter. You don't need an insane budget to start. You could start with, you know, $20,000 would be enough to start it versus a restaurant. What you need, like,
$1 million. Gosh. Yeah.
So I think that's probably one of the main reasons, because I could really see something concrete that I could create. Before that, I wanted to have a blog. I wanted to have a recipe book, but something about the truck was really concrete. I could see exactly how I could plan it.
And so then comes the Kickstarter. Mm-hmm.
So I had a couple options for raising money or getting a loan or asking my parents for money or any other way to raise money. And I felt like a Kickstarter was a good way to get the community involved. And I didn't know if I was going to hit $10,000, which was my goal. And I really, really didn't know if I was going to hit it. And I actually hit it in like 12 hours. And that's why I changed my life. Because that day I was just sitting in my room just crying. Like, how is this much support being given to me? And I think that having that much support is, it's motivating and it's scary. Because it's like, now I have all these people that I'm going to let down and I don't want to upset them or fail. I still have that feeling. I mean, I think that's sometimes what keeps me going, because there's so many moments in time where I wanted to give the food truck up because it's not profiting the way that I want it to. And I just think of all those people who believe in me and I'm like, I have to do this for them. But more is like, I want to do this for them.
Yeah, and your food truck is, again, pretty amazing. And I know and have seen some of the stories you've shared of the ups and downs of having it. But I have to say, what you're really great at, one is having the passion, and people obviously wanted to support the passion, but also you, Sammy, because you're so great at developing relationships. Even after people would donate to your Kickstarter, you were jumping on and making little videos for every single person and thanking them and posting it to their Facebook page. And that says so much about who you are and your level of gratitude for that support. But to me, that's another reason for why people wanted to jump in to support you as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely was like my own way of doing it, which again is, I think, one of the things that's uniquely me is that I do things my own way. And other people, a lot of people do Kickstarter the exact same way and they try to duplicate exactly what somebody else did. I never seen anybody make a Facebook video thanking everybody who donated on their Facebook wall that's completely public. Like, I would make some of those when I had just got in the shower. I was in a towel. Like, I didn't care. I was being like completely just raw myself. And I think that was a huge part of why it had success and why I was able to raise the money so quick. And I think, yeah, I think that that's kind of something that's on my mind right now. I don't know why, but it's just that being yourself is what's so special in this world. I think too many people are trying to be like somebody else. And I don't know why I keep bringing that up, but for some reason, at this table, in this moment, that's what I want to share, is that it's so important to be yourself and own what you are. And if you're not sure what that is yet, then that's okay too. You will find it.
And I think that's the journey for every person, right? We've kind of become, so many people, we've become something because of whatever we experienced growing up. We just want to be liked. We want to be loved. So we start to kind of alter ourselves and put on masks. And I think the big journey is uncovering, like, actually, who am I really? and what is my greatest expression of myself that's unique to me. Mm-hmm. And you've seen to have embraced that and owned that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Nobody does it like Sammy.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so when you had this food truck journey, right, was it easy from the start? Or, I mean, I'm kind of leading this question because I know the answer, but I'd love to hear about your experience too from start to where you are now with your food truck.
You know what's actually funny? It actually was easier in the start than it is now because, you know, in the beginning, you kind of have this like really high moment where right when you start something, I think you usually have like a little roller coaster of success. And you're like, oh, I've made the right choice. I'm doing the right thing. Everything's going well. We booked 3 festivals. We're making money. So many people came to my launch. And like there was all this hype, all the Kickstarter support. And then
you had a video made about you too by that one.
Yeah, was by it Coors Light.
Coors, yep.
Coors Light made a video about us. Another company called Ganella Bakery in Chicago made a video about my truck. And then all of a sudden, after like 3 months, it got really hard. And it was like, okay, now everybody who said they were going to visit kind of visited. And they don't really have a reason to come every day. So now how do I find a market for my truck? Which is something I'm still struggling with. And it's definitely like has a roller coaster. I always say being an entrepreneur is like being in Mario Party because you win the gold and you jump over the rainbow and then all of a sudden there's a ditch and then you see Bowser and then you fight Bowser and you win and then something else happens.
And then here's the next level. There's mm-hmm. more obstacles and holes and dinosaurs or mm-hmm. dragons to slay.
Yeah, but every obstacle makes me and you stronger. So even the bad is like worth it. Like I never thought that I would be able to like change the oil of a food truck or, you know, like everything involved with operating a food truck was outside my comfort zone. Like I'm a 26-year-old small, very small girl who drives a truck way bigger than anybody thought I could ever drive and operates the food. Like I have battle scars, like my arms are burnt, but it's worth it because I'm learning. And the moment I stop learning is when I think I would actually give up. But I'm never going to let myself stop learning because even if I figure out the market, then it's like, okay, now how do we build a second one or, you know, do this? Because I'm not the type of person that's going to let myself be complacent.
I love that. Where did that come from? What do you think?
I think it comes from my family because I come from a family of entrepreneurs and my older brother has been an entrepreneur since he was in like 4th grade. So I think the comparing thing is like what I lived with my whole life was like, okay, so I have the friends, but my brother has the business, but I want the business and because I didn't have it. So I always wanted to have a career that I could be proud of the way that my brother was. And I would compare myself to him like my whole entire life. I never thought that I would have my own business, but I always really wanted it because he had it. And he had it since like, he's a freak. If you guys know my brother, Jake Udell, he's a freak of nature.
He kind of is, yeah.
Yeah. So definitely I compared myself to him my whole life and I wanted to be like him and have my own business. And like I said, I never really had a passion for anything that strongly. I mean, I majored in advertising in college. I didn't do anything with food. This all kind of came out of nowhere.
Do you feel now, because it sounds like that was kind of a motivator, is the comparison and wanting to succeed like Jake did. Is that still the motivating factor? Do you think you kind of let that go and something else is what's keeping you going to stay being a powerful and successful entrepreneur?
Yeah, I don't think that's what's motivating me anymore. Although it still does motivate me when I think about it. I want my family, not just my brother, but I want my whole family to be proud. And that's important to me. That's my parents being proud of me. It sounds cliche, but I think that motivates most people. But right now, it's honestly for me. Like, I have friends and I have family members that are like, why do you work this hard? Because, for example, yesterday, I cooked breakfast and lunch for DeMarcus. I got off lunch and I went to the farmer's market to get ingredients, got home, prepped dinner, went to DeMarcus's house to cook dinner, and then got home and I cooked 3 days worth of meals for Ludacris and 1 day worth of meals for 2 Chainz at my house until like 3 in the morning. And then I woke up this morning at like 6:30 a.m. to go to the grocery store to get back to breakfast for DeMarcus. So I'm like feeding 3 people every meal, and people see it, like me, photos with celebrities. And so they just think like, oh, she's made it, or whatever they think. But they don't see like my hustle unless they're really close to me, which is like my family. They know my hustle, and they see that maybe I'm not taking as good of care of myself as I used to. And that bothers them because they don't understand it. Sometimes friends or family, if they don't get it, because they're like, you don't have to do this. You don't have to work so hard. And I know that. And it's for me at this point in time. It's for me. Like, nobody's telling me I have to do this. Nobody says I have to work this hard. My food truck's out today. I already stopped by there before I came here. It's a grind. My life is a hustle. And I don't think that people really see the grind. Like, a lot of people hit me up on Instagram and stuff. They say things like, I'm so proud of you. Like, you really made it. You're so inspiring. And you would think that that would motivate me, but it actually does the opposite, because I feel like I want to yell back at them like, but you don't see the work I put into getting here. And that bothers me for some reason, because I don't want to just be, oh, you're so successful, congrats. Like, no, I'm not. First of all, thank you. But second of all, it's because I work so hard. And that's like, that's all there is to it. It's like, I know that some people don't have to put in as many hours, and like the 4-hour work week is something I've never read, which I probably should, but I've heard of it. And I know that some people like get to a success, but like my industry, if you work in the food business,
it's a grind. It's nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is. You know, Sammy, I love that you share that, because so often we look at the glory, right? We look at the final result, and most people show on social media the final result, right? Whether it's you, the picture, I love the picture of you with the boys on the couch. I don't know why I can't remember their names, DeMarcus and
2 Chainz.
Yeah, on the couch. And then there's you in your badass chef outfit with your arms crossed, and they see that final result. And then you're right. They think, wow, you've made it so inspiring, but they don't see what's behind it. But I think what's valuable is we share the grind too, which is why I'm even doing this podcast, right? Is to share with people, it's not always so easy, and there are the struggles and the setbacks, but there's ways to keep moving forward, which you're sharing so much great wisdom already now, but also that great things come with a level of resilience, discipline, and constant action going forward. And it doesn't come, I mean, some people maybe it's a little bit different on how it works out for them. Mm-hmm. But being an entrepreneur myself too, it's a freaking grind.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no one sees when you're up at 2 in the morning mm-hmm. for me making landing pages and writing copy yeah. and posting all this stuff, that it's a lot. And they just see the final results. So what I love is when people are more real and show yeah. the grind on, you know, social and share those experiences.
I'm here on the podcast to say that yes. being an entrepreneur, sometimes it's lonely, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's all-nighters, sometimes I feel like my own health is depleting. I mean, I could go on and on, but then I get a photo with DeMarcus and 2 Chainz that blows up my social media. I think I got like 2,000 new followers from one photo.
Wow.
And then I'm like, okay, that's the step in Mario Party where I just won the little bag of gold. And that's why I had to fight Bowser. It was worth it. And now what's next? Mm-hmm. You know, it is worth it. But I mean, your health is also worth it.
Yeah, I was about to say that. You got to take care of your health.
Yeah.
Because I think you and I talked a little bit about it. I've personally been dealing with some health issues myself. Mm-hmm. And literally my body's telling me to stop.
Yeah.
Like, I actually don't have a choice to keep grinding, and I have to find a new way of going about creation, which is then calling in support and team mm-hmm. on an even greater scale on my end. I know you have it for your truck. Like, how do you balance? I mean, because you're basically full time cooking for these guys, and then you still have your food truck. How do you create the balance between the two?
It's really hard. I think you said it, which is like having a good team. People are very important. I have 2 employees that are like my backbones, which are Moaz and E, and they're amazing. And I'm so thankful to have them. But I also think a lot of it is just priorities. It's like looking at everything you have to do and just realizing what's the most important. I mean, I have food truck bills, so those are expensive. Like, mm-hmm. I have to find a way to make money or else we're going to lose money and go out of business. So that's a priority because I have my rent to pay, which is $3,100 just for my rent, another $1,200 just to park the truck, another hundreds of dollars in insurance and workman's compensation. And I mean, the bills are high. I have like $11,000 in overhead charges, in overhead bills a month.
Yeah. Are there times when you make it and sometimes you don't? I mean, obviously you make it because it's still going, but.
Yeah. I mean, definitely feel like sometimes my businesses have been like kind of feeding each other and then they come to a place of balance. And then, you know, anything can happen with a food truck. Like, we're doing great. And then we hit a wall, like physically, like the truck ran into a wall today.
Today. Yeah. You guys see me when she came, she's like, look, the guys hit the truck on some like fence and it's like literally ripped off metal from the top.
Yeah. It like ripped the whole side of the truck. And like, I felt like giving up. Like, I'm not even going to lie. When I saw the picture, I was like, I don't need this. I don't. And it's too hard. I don't want to do it anymore. And I felt like that for like an hour. And then I went to the truck. I saw them. I saw the damage. We talked about it. And I don't want to give up. Yeah. I don't plan to.
You know, I mentioned this again before we started rolling, but it's so inspiring for me to see the way that you keep such a positive attitude. It's rare, Sammy, that I hear you complaining, truly. And I was mentioning the one thing when I was thinking about, like, who do I want on this show that I know would have so much value to provide? And immediately you came up because I still remember, and I said this, but on my birthday weekend, you worked all day on your truck. And I think you might have been cooking for one of the guys as well at that time. Then you drove all the way to Palm Springs. Got there, what was it? I think 7 o'clock.
It was later, like, I think. It was like 4 hours of traffic.
Yeah, thank God. Or that Friday traffic was such a mess. And then you got there, you literally busted out all the food and your culinary skills, cooked us an amazing dinner, hung out, and left the next morning, drove all the way back to LA to then cater a wedding that night. And you did it all with a smile. How do you
explain that?
Yeah, some days I'm like, but you just do it with so much grace. Like, how do you manage that for yourself?
I think that that day is a perfect example too. It's like, I was in traffic and I was like, oh, why am I sitting here in traffic? But then getting there and getting to spend even a night with you on your birthday and some of my other most amazing friends and doing something that I love, not for work, but just for nourishing my friends, is like, that's a memory that I have forever and you have forever. So I'm so thankful that I pushed through to make it there. And I think that's just like part of life, is like, things aren't easy. And that's another priority list. Like, I had a priority list. I had a wedding the next day, and that was a priority because I committed myself to catering a wedding. And then one of my best friend's birthdays, also a priority. And like, I have other friends whose birthdays I might have had to miss. And maybe like something was a bigger priority in that moment. Hopefully I made the right decision, you know? Like, sometimes it's like, how do I choose which one I'm supposed to do?
How do you choose? And I'm so grateful you chose to come to my birthday. Thank God.
This is like something I always tell my mom and she gets mad at me. But if I can do it, I'm going to do it. And if I can't do it, I'm not going to do it. So, for example, a lot of times my clients will text me at 6 p.m. for 7:30 dinner that they want pad thai when I've already made, you know, grilled chicken, stuffed, whatever. And I'm like, oh my God, I already made that. How am I supposed to make pad thai? But then I look around my kitchen. I have all the ingredients I need, and it's totally possible. It's going to, like, break me a little bit, but it's possible. So I'm going to do it. But if I looked around my kitchen, I don't have the ingredients, I need to go to the store, I'm going to be like stuck in traffic and there's no way that I could do it, I'm not going to do it because I can't. So for me, a lot of times what makes decisions is like, is it possible and can I do it without like hurting myself or others. So I think that's why I'm a freak too, because I push my boundaries a lot. And my mom's like, but why would you do that? And my mom's like my best friend. So I'm always telling her, and she's like, I would have never done that. I would have served them the chicken. And I'm like, but it was possible and I got to make people happy. And that's like something I live for. So if it's possible, there's a really good chance that I'll do it.
So big question. How does Sammy care for herself? Because we're hearing in this conversation, you've got such a huge heart to make sure so many people around you are happy, they feel nourished and cared for. How do you take care of yourself, girl?
It's a struggle, I'm not gonna lie. It's in this moment in my life, it's probably my greatest struggle, especially being someone so obsessed with health and wellness and creating that for so many people, and then looking back and being like, wait, but I chipped at my own health and wellness to create that, is definitely a struggle. But I think what helps me care for myself is just taking that time whenever I can. Even though I go to the farmer's market for work, I'll make sure to buy things for myself too. And remembering to do that, and remembering I need food as well, and that's not anything to do with work. Or taking the time, even if it's not as often as I used to, but just making sure I go to yoga. Or yesterday, me and my neighbor took a walk around the block, and we just picked some plants for our houses. And then I came home and I just replanted all my plants. And I think those things used to be my lifestyle. Those were the things that I did every day. And now it's kind of those are the joys of life, because they only happen every so often now for me. But I think because of that structure of my life, I get to appreciate things like that more. And I'm not saying I want to live this hustle of a life for the rest of my life. Honestly, I don't want to be grinding this many hours for the rest of my life, but I do want to always create something. And I think it's just about balance. You kind of have to go to both sides of the extreme to know what it feels like. So I already know what it feels like to be a party girl, to hang out with friends, to sleep all day. I know what that feels like. Now I'm learning what it feels like to work 24/7, to be always on the grind, to not sleep, to not feel like I have time to work out, even though I know I do have time to work out. And hopefully next time I'm on your podcast, I'll be like, yo, I found the balance, guys. It's right here in the middle. But I don't honestly feel like I'm in the middle right now. And I'm okay with that. And I think that's, again, where I'm owning where I'm at. I'm okay with that right now.
Yeah, I love that, because I think that's part of the journey and the discovery, right? Finding what works for you. And there's something that drives you to want to work that hard right now. And I know, because that was me in my 20s and even in my early 30s, where I was like, ooh, I actually took pride in how hard I worked. Mm-hmm. And then as I continue to get older, it's realizing that that's not the way for me anymore. Yeah. And so you're right. It's like there's these seasons of our life that we discover what works and what doesn't work, and then being able to pivot each time so that it feels in alignment with where we are in that phase of our life. Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool.
I mean, yeah, I think that I know in a year I'm not going to want to be cooking all day and night 24/7. But right now, it's how I'm learning. It's how I'm growing. It makes me happy. And people always look at my life and they're like, there's no way she's happy because I work so much. But I am happy. I mean, of course, I have my lows a lot, but this is where I want to be right now. So I think that in itself is kind of nourishing, even though I do acknowledge that I should be taking better care of myself in certain aspects of my life.
When you share that you have your lows, what do you do in those moments to support yourself?
I think I usually reach out to somebody, one of my best friends or my mom, or even sometimes I confide in my employees, you guys were a team and, this is feeling really bad. What happened? We lost a lot of money. How can we fix this? I think a lot of times I reach out, or the opposite. I'll just spend time thinking or being alone. And just, I think a lot of times I honestly just kind of, like I said already, I just keep going and then it kind of heals itself. Because if you stop in those moments and you just give up, then those moments are going to be longer. But if you just say, okay, that happened, that sucks, but yeah, I'm still going, then something greater happens and it kind of heals itself, I think. At least that's my experience.
Sammy, I love what you just said. The more you just sit in it, those longer those moments become.
Mm-hmm.
That's really powerful. Thank you for that wisdom nugget that you just dropped on me. Yeah, instead of sitting there ruminating on the problem, you know, keep going. And then at the same time, there's going to be moments when we have to honor how we feel and to really process and feel it. But mm-hmm. I think as a society, some of us have become addicted to sitting in those feelings too, or feeling sorry for ourselves, or getting stuck in the moments of challenge and feeling like there's no way out. But yeah, by taking the action, you pull yourself out because you see that you're actually not stuck and that the challenge doesn't have power over you, but you have power over that challenge.
Yeah. And we're always in a moment, right? So you're interviewing me in the middle of my day, like between lunch and dinner, like right when I leave here, I need to book it back home. So I have a lot of energy right now because I'm like in the middle of my work day right now. And maybe if you interview me, say, on a Saturday after DeMarcus leaves town and all I really have is like the food truck and maybe like one client, like you're literally interviewing me when Ludacris and 2 Chainz had just left town. I had to drop off 3 days worth of food to Ludacris this morning, which takes me like hours and hours and hours. Luckily, I have help from Waz, but it takes me a long time. So I think that's like kind of like my brain right now is in this like grind mode. So what's coming out of me is my grind mode. But if you maybe interviewed me after I took a walk on the beach and yoga, I'd be like, taking care of yourself is the most important thing, you know? But that's like also where you're at in moments. Like things change so quickly and that's okay.
Yeah,
I love change, so I'm comfortable with that.
Girl, as I said, I'm so grateful that you were able to make today work because I know how busy you are. And so you creating the space and time to, one, I get to hug you, which I love, and I haven't seen you in a while. But also, two, that you get to share. You've dropped so much, like, goodness in this episode so far, and I can't wait for you to even re-listen to it to hear. But for, you know, everyone who is currently listening, like, how much value is in this. So thank you for that.
Thank you, girl.
So I'm going to close this up. I usually ask all my guests 3 questions at the very end. This is the unlock your heart round. Not like your heart needs to be unlocked anymore because it's pretty wide open. And actually, I want to say one more thing before I ask you these questions, just to point it out. When I asked you what you do when you get stuck or in a hard place, and you said you reach out and you even said that you'll share with your employees. One of the other many magical things I love about you is your willingness to be so vulnerable. Like you just share what's there for you and you allow other people in to be either a support or a resolution for where you're at. Cause I think most people won't reach out and they want to stuff it down, but you're just so open. So awesome, Sammy.
Thank you. I actually just thought of one more thing that I wanted to say, which is that me and Steph met at a conference leadership training, and we actually had to pick the most unattractive person in the room, and Steph had chosen me, and I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but I think it's okay.
You just did.
So she chose me as most unattractive person in the room, and I think this is like a very interesting circle of where things are exactly what I was saying is when you keep going. So I had a choice, right? Like I could have looked at you like that for the rest of my life, honestly. Some people would and do. I could have said, Steph chose me as the most unattractive person that day. I'm never going to like her. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People do that and they mm-hmm. get so stuck on something versus saying, who do I want to be? Where do I want to be? I want Steph to like me. Okay, I'm going to make her like me. Because I think you can create anything you want in this world. And if that's what you want, then you can create it. You just have to believe in yourself to create that. And maybe I had to change, or maybe I had to open up to her, to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's funny because that is like how we met, really.
Yeah.
And now I'm on your podcast. What an honor. Like, who would have ever thought in that moment that I would be on your podcast?
I would have thought. No. And I just want to preface it with this. You know, with that exercise, when we are asked to identify who was the most least attractive, I think what I saw, I didn't know you very well, but it was just in a way that you were answering a question. And what I witnessed was, or what I made up or perceived in my head was, here's a, you know, girl who's weak, who's not willing to, you know, create, like you were kind of slowing down the process in the room. And I had all this judgment. And we know that it wasn't even about you. It was, that's something I judged within myself, you know, that I was never able to express any sort of weakness or take up space or slow down a process for an entire room. And it was good learning for me as well to drop more into compassion and meet people where they're at. And again, I love the full circle of where we are. Right. Yeah. And that we both, you know, you're one of my best friends and a soul sister and someone I deeply love and am inspired by. And I see the grind. I'm inspired by the grind, not just by the social media posts.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm so grateful I get a back door to witness you and where you were to where you are now.
Thank you. And that moment honestly probably had a really huge impact on me. Like seeing people choose me, like I think it's saying you are the least attractive person to me right now because I know you have more in you.
That too, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you know what? That could hurt and it stung for a second, but thank you for letting me know because I will be better and I want to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be.
You've surpassed it, girl. Love it.
Okay, so I can stop.
Okay. Yeah, you're done. Go get it. Take a vacay in Tulum, okay? You're done, girl. All right, so Sammy. What's something unique about you that most people don't know?
Something unique about me that most people don't know. Why is that such a hard question for me?
I think because you're such an open book that everybody knows a lot about you. There's got to be something.
That is so weird. I can't think of anything. I just like went so blank. I'm like nervous now. Something unique about me that most people don't know is... the fuck? This is weird.
We can skip the question. Want to skip what? It? Pass?
I literally can't think of anything. Okay. That's so weird.
Totally fine. If you think of it later, comment on your post. Or really? Comment when I release this, you can comment and say, hey guys, this is what...
I'm going to have like 2,000. Actually, I thought of something.
Okay.
Something unique about me that most people don't know is that I like am always coming up with ideas. So like I just said, I will have 300 business ideas a day and I'll always be like, oh my God, I just thought of a new business. I just thought of a new thing to do. And I'm really like an idea machine. Mm-hmm. But what most people see is just what I have implemented. But I have a lot of ideas.
That's awesome. I can't wait to see what your other ideas are because I know you're going to make it come into reality. That's who you are. All right. And then when you're in a really dark place, what's your go-to to get out?
Really good relationships and people that support me no matter what. Having friendships of people that know, like they know everything about me. So it's not embarrassing to tell them my struggle. Because they love my whole self, whole Sam self, my wholesome self, and they're going to be there for me. I think that's really important. Even if it's only a handful of people that actually know everything, but having really deep relationships.
Yeah.
It helps a lot.
And knowing what you know now, what advice would you give your 10-year-old self?
Knowing what I know now, I would tell my 10-year-old self that where you're at right now is good. Whether it's your time to shine when you're 10 or 20 or 30, wherever you're at is where you're supposed to be. And things are always going to fall into place.
I love it. Thanks, Sammy, for being here today. I love you so much. And I'm going to take you up on doing podcast episode numero dos with you. Let's do it. Oh, how much do you love Sammy? I know I sure do. Like a lot, if you couldn't tell in this episode.
You know, it's so refreshing and inspiring to hear Sam share of her success by simply starting before she was ready, and her willingness to keep taking imperfect action and just stay in motion and not waiting for the perfect timing, the perfect circumstances, or having all the resources. You know, Sam just went for it and keeps going for it, and that is a major key to success. You know, what I found is that if you're working on something important, then you're never gonna really feel like you're ready. Because the side effect of doing something challenging is that you're pulled, you know, by the excitement, and you're also pushed by the confusion at the same time. And it's inevitable that you're gonna feel unprepared, you're gonna feel unqualified and uncertain. But I promise you this, who you are and what you have right now is enough, really. I mean, you can keep on planning, revising, and delaying all you want, but all it's gonna do is cause you more pain. Because so often we wait, and we wait, and we keep waiting some more, and as time passes, we feel, you know, a deep pain inside because the gift that we have to share or what we want stays locked within us instead of manifesting in our reality. So trust me, who you are is enough, and you can do this. And it doesn't matter if you're trying to start a business, or if you want to write a cookbook or lose weight or any other goals that you want to achieve. Who you are, what you have, and what you know right now is good enough to get going. And you really got to trust that. And here's the thing, you know, the fear may be there, you may feel the resistance, but start anyway. Take one step. So if you're listening to this episode and you've got a vision, a dream, or something you want to manifest in your life, and you're sitting on the sidelines, this is your sign to get off the sidelines and onto the field and play. Go for it. And here's the best part. You don't have to do this alone. You can reach out for support. Ask a friend or family member to support you. You can even hire a coach or someone to keep you accountable and to keep you moving in the tough moments. But go for it. Don't let another day pass. You got one shot. Make it one that you want to experience. And know that I've got your back too. You know, feel free to reach out to me if you're ready to play and take your life to the next level, because that's my specialty. We will break through old unconscious beliefs that are stopping you and get you moving and manifesting. All right, so if you want an extra boost of empowerment from Sam, go check out my Instagram at I Am Stephanie Kwong, where I've got a mini video of Sam sharing another go-to practice she uses to get out of the darkness that was not on today's show. And if there's someone you know who could benefit from this episode, please share it out with them. Also, if you got value from this episode and want more, I would love for you to subscribe to the podcast and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes, because that means we can support even more people to rise higher together. And finally, for everything that we mentioned in today's episode and for links to connect with Sam, you can check it out in the show notes over at stephaniekwong.com/EP14. And if you're a foodie and an Instagrammer, you definitely want to follow Sam's amazing adventures. All right, until next time, I'm sending you so much love.